If you're a sports talk radio host in Cleveland that could be bigger than LeBron James coming, I'm not sure there's anything bigger. Like, when they win, yeah, sure. But that's because you've kind of been building up to it and exciting. This is all of a sudden, oh, my God, LeBron's coming back. I'm not sure how you compare this to. I'm not sure what you compare it to. Ken Carman from 92.3 The Fan in Cleveland joins us. Is it like a national holiday now? Well, not a national, but like a civic holiday in Cleveland? What's going on?
Well, I think people are really kind of going nuts about it right now. I mean, it is a complete game changer for a lot of fans out here, and it's kind of a test of your own will, because the way he left, it tests people's patience, and not a lot of people had a whole lot of forgiveness for the guy, and we take sports pretty seriously out here. So for him to have that letter, to write what he wrote about the fans, and having it be, you know, not even a really about the Cavs or really about Dan Gilbert. He mentions them, but it's not about that. It really is a letter to the fans of Cleveland and to the fans of Northeast Ohio, and I think that's what made the most difference here.
There was 4 years ago, there was a lot of hatred in Cleveland, man. They were like the spurn, you know, just the jaded lover where he basically cheated on them and said, I'm leaving. People were burning jerseys. The owners writing letters, hating LeBron. You know, LeBron admitted in his letter today that, you know, he talked to Dan Gilbert face to face and, you know, Gilbert admitted he made a mistake, as all people do. He's emotional and you move on. I don't think there's any fan in Cleveland who is going to still feel, say, you know what, I can't forgive him. Are there, or are most fans like, man, this is great, I don't care what happened 4 years ago?
It just depends. If you're not an NBA fan, I don't know. You know, it just isn't the time for you, I guess. But I think it's really an all-in mentality for a lot of people. And there were some people who, you know, my producer here, and we kind of had a back and forth, because I was upset. I was embarrassed at the time, because I was just starting out as a show host. I was down in Akron when he actually did it. And I became a sycophant. I said every excuse I possibly could for the guy when he was younger. He left. I was flat embarrassed professionally in a lot of ways. And being a Cavs fan my entire life, I was very upset, very angry about it. And as time went on, you realize how good he is. And you realize that it takes those type of players to give yourself a chance to win championships. And yeah, I think from a basketball standpoint, I would have taken him back. I definitely would have taken him back. But my producer was yelling at me, getting into it with me. He would not take him back. And today's the day where he goes, yep, all that stuff I said, forget all that stuff. He's the best basketball player on the face of the earth. That letter meant something to me. I changed the way I feel about that. So there was a lot of vitriol, a lot of anger last time. But you know, this time, he seems to be mature. I think, in a way, we've kind of grown from it. And I think this is this is a very special moment for a fan base and for a player like LeBron James.
So what's the next step here? We've heard all the rumors. Is Kevin Love a realistic option? Because we're hearing that Wiggins isn't on the table as far as a guy they want to trade back. And why would they? If you could have LeBron James, Kyrie Irving, and have them develop Wiggins, you know, that you know, a year or two under his belt playing on the same floor as LeBron, he's a pretty good athlete. He'd be a pretty good player.
Oh, well, I think you're looking at it, boys, from a situation of you could have it as the next San Antonio Spurs, and maybe even on steroids, considering how Wiggins is and how good he is. It really is going to come down to LeBron. LeBron is going into this thing knowing that it's going to take a build. These guys need to get in under his wing. It's going to be incredibly important for Kyrie Irving to step up and be a leader on that team and be a second player to him and to disperse and to create, because LeBron's as ball dominant as it gets, and he's been considered to be the Peyton Manning while he's out there on the floor. Basically, though, if LeBron wants Kevin Love, they're going to give him Kevin Love. There's just no two ways about it. He's the best basketball player on earth. He's the most powerful man in sports. When he makes a billionaire apologize to him, he's going to get exactly what he wants out of this deal. In Minnesota, they're not in the most powerful position. They know that they need Kevin Love in Cleveland. I think it does come down to Andrew Wiggins. But if there's a way where you can sweeten that pot, and that's where some of those crazy Chris Grant trades from before start to play into it, when you have draft picks, when you do have some young players that you can work in, maybe that can make it a little bit easier for Minnesota to part ways with Kevin Love, because you can still hang it over their heads that you're going to lose them no matter what. And this is a pretty good offer over here. We need them. You need this. Let's come together on a deal.
Ken Carman joins us from 92.3 The Fan in Cleveland. You look at Bennett, and you know when, and as a Canadian, when Bennett was drafted, I was floored because I'm not really sure he was worthy of that. Not that it's his fault, but I'm not sure he was necessarily, you know, a number one overall pick when you look at the history of number one overall picks in the NBA. I'm guessing they'd much more be willing to part with him than a guy like Andrew Wiggins. But if they don't, where do you see Bennett fitting in long term in Cleveland? Like, what's the role that he could excel at there?
Well, we keep hearing about him being in better shape. And there was a couple of times, guys, when he was playing and here in this, Jason, when he was playing and you had a couple of games where there was a game where he had like something like 20 points or so, and he had 20 points in 20 minutes and 10 assists, or 10 rebounds. I mean, there was just this one game I'll never forget, even though I forget which game it was, where he looked like a number one pick. And then he went back out the next night and barely did anything. There is some talent there that you know you can harness, but you just got to find it. There is talent there that says this guy should be number one overall, but it is buried, and we don't know if we're going to be able to find it here. And for him, a player like LeBron James could make him a beast, and I do believe that because he is such a coach on the floor, and he could be exactly what a guy like Anthony Bennett needs, because he hasn't had much coaching before. It's all raw talent. They let him do whatever he wanted to when he was at UNLV. And in this situation with LeBron, I think it takes a ton of pressure off that kid. And if he were to stay, they weren't going to package him in a deal, I don't know if you're going to get that overwhelming play that you need out of a number one pick, but you're going to get a very nice player out of that, because I think it just takes so much pressure off the kid, and it's exactly what he needs.
Ken, the interesting thing about LeBron James, that you read his statement, is he seems to understand that he wants to be more than just an athlete necessarily. He wants to try to give back in other ways where, you know, and he admitted that it was kind of like going to college away for him a few years ago. And that does make sense to me. You like, he is very powerful in the NBA and obviously will help out. I've been reading online, people think, man, like the Midwest, definitely in Ohio, you know, you've taken some lumps financially there. You know, it's a downturn. I don't know if he has that much of an impact, but how much is it going to impact the psyche of not only Cleveland, but the state of Ohio? And where do you see this growing? What type of things is LeBron going to do inside that state outside of basketball?
Well, it's been well before even I was born. We've had some documented problems here in the Midwest, and especially through this region of trying to go from a manufacturing industry to tech jobs to finance and trying to find new ways to create commerce and to create business. What he does, he improves the service sector. And knowing some downtown businesses, we're right here in downtown, and obviously you develop relationships with bars and retail outlets and some other businesses down here. And they've already said part-time jobs become full-time jobs. They had to cut some people. You look at the lack of what's going on downtown. That does have to do with what LeBron James used to have. He brings that back. There's opportunity there. It's not where he's just the end-all, be-all when it comes to industry, obviously. He's not light back up some of the steel mills or anything like that, but there is economic opportunity for him. And for himself, this is such a huge business decision for him and such a great opportunity for him. I can't imagine what the first real Nike commercial is going to be when he comes back and what some of the other businesses are going to be when he comes back. And for him, he's one of the very few players whose name's going to be synonymous with the game after it's all said and done. People still buy Michael Jordan's shoes over a decade after he's retired. People will buy LeBron James' shoes after he's retired and after he's done playing. He wants to build that brand. It's been no secret that he would like to be maybe a part owner somewhere, somehow. And obviously with the relationship with Dan Gilbert, maybe there was definitely a hatchet buried there. Who knows what he would be involved in? I think a lot of imaginations are running wild, but that's definitely on his plate. He'd definitely like to be an owner in the NBA and be a businessman and really build an industry off his own back.
Well, enjoy the day in Cleveland, really the week and probably the next month as the Cavaliers reshape that franchise. Something tells me, have they sold out next season already in Cleveland? Like, I heard yesterday they made $1 million in ticket sales before he was there, just based on speculation. I'm guessing now that every game is going to be sold out.
You used to have to go, this is what happened yesterday, is you had a $200, and I have people calling me up, because it's no secret about the ticket industry and what goes on in professional sports. So you got guys calling us up, and it's almost like insider trading in the market. It's where they want to kind of know, like, is he coming? Because if I put this money down, I want to be able to make my money back and then some, obviously. And you're going, well, I don't know what I'm going to tell you. Well, how much are the tickets? Well, $6,000 for floor and stuff like that. I'm going, my God. But it was, even for upper nosebleeds and things like that, you had a $200 security deposit. Now it's a $500 flat fee. It's going to be a high rollers club over there, and there's going to be a lot of nosebleed section seats to try to get after. It's going to be a hot ticket in this town, and that place is going to be sold out every single night from here until he probably retires.
Oh, I would think so. It'll be huge. Enjoy it, Ken. It definitely will liven up things in Cleveland.
Thank you very much, my friend.